Okay, good morning. Today we'll talk about how to access XML data. We have been so far looking at the overall XML document structure. We've talked about how we can find information or elements and text data from within an XML document using XPath. But now when we make a program, like the one you're going to be doing in the assignment, and whenever we have a program that's going to somehow use the data, either just reading them or manipulating them, using them, then we need to access. And rather than having everyone write their own code to parse the XML document and to access the nodes, there is a standard for a document structure and for accessing. So it's an API that's implemented in many, many programming languages. So what we're going to do here is go through the DOM API, which is the Document Object Model API, and give you a kind of an overall understanding of what it is. What is the structure, the tree, or the extended tree structure, if you want, and how we can navigate and how we can retrieve and even add information to an existing XML document using this API. So we are here. There aren't too many weeks left till we wrap up. We're going to do XML this week, mostly today and tomorrow, mostly on the DOM. And we talk a little bit about other technologies that are coming up that are alternatives to XML. And then next week, we'll talk about validation. Because in this assignment and in my example code, there isn't much code for testing. I'm just assuming, for instance, if there should be an element in the document, I'm just assuming that it's there. But what now if somebody feeds in a document that's invalid, doesn't have that element? Then we need to test for it. And rather than have us add test wherever we access information, test is it there or is it not there, and handle it, we can use a validator. And the validator is saying, okay, this is what we expect. This is the structure we expect. And if the document is not valid, is not fulfilling that spec, it will tell right away. So we don't have to write the testing code in every piece of our own code. We could just validate. And after that, if the document structure or if the validator says that there should be an element, if the document passed validation, we can be sure that it will always be there. So we don't have to test for it, whether it's there or not, every time we access the document. So in this part of the code and in your code, the document you've gotten in the assignment is valid. I mean, it has all the elements that we expect in the right places. It doesn't have anything else. So you don't have to add all that test code. But next week, we'll talk about how then can we protect this kind of code by having a general validation step. And then we're going to do some file and database stuff before we get into the exam preparation mode. Okay, some general information, some updates. I have been updating the assignment text. Unfortunately, when I uploaded it to Blackboard, I didn't remember to modify the link. So the link from the assignment page was still to the old one. So now I fixed it. So now the latest version is LinkedIn. So if you go to the assignment and follow the link to the text, it is latest. Sorry about that. So just make sure, because there are some of the numbers, how many you should get, that are not the same as it was in the old version. And I hope there are no more errors. And there's also, as you could see, my note on Blackboard, there's also a missing S in the Skier source code. So when we add affiliations, in one of the two add affiliation methods, the one that takes just one affiliation, there's missing an S in the variable name, the member variable, the affiliations variable. This Friday, there will be no lecture. I'm not here, and I don't think it makes sense to start any new topic either. It's better that you can complete the XPath, the DOM work, and then we start next week on the new stuff. And in 2 weeks, that Wednesday, I need to be in Trondheim, so I won't do it either. So we'll see how we do that. We're going to move up a little bit, I think, the physical modeling and indexes into the end of next week. And then worst case, or if you find that there is something that you still need to study, I will make some recordings and put some links to those recordings out there so you can watch the videos. But there is no Wednesday lecture that week. The calendar should be adjusted as well. Okay. Now what we're going to look at are two different interfaces to programming and getting data from an XML document. The first is called SAX, which is simple access to XML. Have any of you used any of these APIs before? It's all new. Okay. Or partly new. We'll talk very briefly about SAX. It's a very, as I said, simple API, and that's not the one we use most of the case, but if you have a very simple configuration file, a file without much complex structure that you would like to just quickly process, it's a good one. And I'll show it to you, and also because it's kind of event-driven. Have any of you programmed any event-driven code before? One? Couple of you. So in event-driven, rather than you doing a while loop to test everything, you're just providing functions that respond to whatever the global task loop is telling. So if you have anything that's related to a user interface, typically the user interface is an event loop and straight waiting for the user to touch something or move the mouse, and based on what the user does, it will react. So SAX is like that. DOM is a tree structure. It's an API, a complex set of nodes. And that's the one we're going to spend most of the time doing. So we'll spend most of the day on looking into the DOM API. And of course, then the thing with the DOM API is that it's standard. So there's a standard specification by W3C, and it's implemented in many languages. Each language have added a little bit to the standard. That's the nice thing with standards, is that there are so many of them, so you could choose the one you like. So I'll try to stick to what is the standard way of doing it, but know that in PHP and other languages, there are easier ways. There are some convenience functions that have been added that will work, or actually will make you have to write a little bit less code. But I'm going to try to stick to mostly to the standard, which is will always work. Of course, with the language binding. Now, simple API, SAX. So as I said, the parser is event-driven. What does it mean? It means that it will read a document, and it will go through the document, and it will find certain nodes in that document. So if you go to this example document that we have been using. How is it structured? Well, it starts by having this, we don't see it here, but having the XML declaration. And then you have the root node. And it's a tree, so it has only one node, the nutrition node. Okay? So the parser, when it parses, it will go through here and say, okay, I find the less than sign, which means that this is the start of an element. And it will go all the way till it finds the end of the element. And now the parser will say, okay, now I found an element. What should I do with it? The parser doesn't know, so it will just send it to you as the programmer, and then you write the code to deal with it. And the parser goes on, and it finds, okay, now here's some blanks. So, okay, I found some characters. What should I do with it? And leave it to the programmer to do with it. So what's going to happen is then like this. We start. First, you have you can have a handler that is run at the start of the document. So when you open the document, then you call the start document handler. And if you want to do something before parsing, you can write that code there, and it will call it once. Then you can write a handler for start elements, which means that whenever we find the start of an element, that code will call it, the handler code, and we do whatever we want to do. We have text data handlers that we call every time we find a chunk of text. which is not the name of an element, which is not part of the element definition, or is not part of the attribute. It's just a text node. Do you remember that we had text? So in this document, what are the texts here? It's whatever is between the elements. So here, for instance, or within an element. So here, there is a text before the command. This is a command. Here is some text before the daily values. There is text after daily values before the total fat. And if we go, we collapse this one. We see here the name, inside name, there is a text. Inside manufacturer is a text. Inside serving, there is a text. So we find all this text data. And what the text handler is, will do is it will be called whenever there is a chunk of text in the document. The thing to remember here is that texts might be very long. Texts may include entity references and other things that the processor may want to or have to deal with separately. So if you have a long text, it's not guaranteed that you get all the text as one call to the text handler. There may be multiple texts after a call to the text event handler after each other. So it's up to the parser to say how much it would like to parse at the time. So it will find an element and then find a chunk of text, and the element. So we have to, when we program, we have to assume that the text handler may be called multiple times wherever there is text. So, and then we can do end document handler. And there is a handler as well for commands, if you would like to process commands, and there are handlers for processing instructions. So if you have some of that, you can write handlers as well. So this then is how it looks like. So with this document, a little bit different from what I had before, it's a data. So this is what the parser is doing. It starts reading. It finds a declaration. After the declaration, it will see, is there a start document handler registered? And if there is a document handler registered, it would call it and say, OK, now we start in the document. And then it will continue, and it will read, OK, this was an element. And it will say, start element. And we will pass data, which is the name of the element. And if there had been attributes, it would also pass the attributes. And then, in this case, we skip the blank text in between and just have the character data for where there's actually character data content. But there might as well be character data here between all the elements, since we have a line break and you have some blanks, indentations. That would typically be text elements. So here we have the start of element, read the characters of here of foo, which is ABC, and then we get the end of this element, and that the foo element, we get to the end of the entry element, and then we start a new entry element, and the next element has the ID 2. So what's going to happen is that there is a loop, the parser is running a loop, and whenever it finds that this was an element, this was a text, this is a document, this is a command, it will see, is there an element or a handler registered? When we program, we like to have a manual close by. And here, this is the PHP manual. If you haven't used it, now it's really time to start using it. And here, if you go to XML manipulation, then we find that we have the DOM, which you're going to spend most of the time on. And then sax is hidden under the name XML parser. So if you go to the XML parser, this is where we find the XML parser. And here we find these functions that we need to work on. So what are these functions? Well, you can see that we can create parsers. And parse, and now the interesting ones are the ones that have XML set. So we see that we could set a character data handler, we could set element handler, we can set object handlers, we can set processing instruction handlers. So these are kind of the handlers. The most important ones, the ones we typically worry about, are the element handlers and the character data handlers, because typically that's what we're interested in. Elements and data. If we were to write a PHP processor, we may want to find processing instructions as well, but that's a different story. In our case, we'll typically look for elements and data within elements. And when we get an element, the attributes are always bound to the element. So the way to get an attribute is to get the element where the attribute is defined. So what are the advantages of this type of API? First of all, it's if you have a very long document, let's say it's a few megabytes, then the advantage of this one is you can process as a stream. You can start processing the first, whenever you get to the first element, you can start processing it. If you had to make a DOM, you will have to first parse everything into the tree, and then you can start processing. So this is nice if you have a document that is long and you would like to start processing the first part as quickly as you can, or if it's a continuous stream, let's say it's just streaming down and you would like to process as data is coming in the stream. And you don't need to fit the whole document in memory. If you think about the alternative where you load the whole tree, of course you need space for the whole tree. And it's not just the data, but it's all the links and all the functions and everything that you need will take space on your computer. So it requires more memory. The problem with SAX is that it can easily get complex. So if you have a complex structure and you would like to process it, then you need to do quite a lot of housekeeping yourself. Keep lots of variables for arrays for keeping context. Where are we now? What is the parent node? What is the grandparent node? Because we don't know that. We just know this is what we just got from the parsing. There is some sample PHP code in the manual. What I thought we should do now is to do it jointly, just go through and see how it works. So let's say we would like to make a simple document, a simple PHP script that goes through the nutrition file and lists all the food items by saying, okay, what is type of item is this, and the name of the item. And at the end, we're just going to say, these are the number of items that we found. So if we go to this document, so we see what is the structure. The structure that we are interested in is the root node is nutrition, and then there is a comment, and then there is the daily values, and then all the food items. And the food items, what we are interested in, would be the type attribute of the food item, plus the text content of the name element. If we go to the code, so this is a bit into the code. Just going to explain what this one is doing here. So this is the maybe I'll scan it up a little bit. This is the function that is processing. So I have a function I just called parse. It's parsing the file. It's actually using the XML parser. So what I start doing is to here is to I can do so, create the parser. Case folding. The reason I'm doing this is that by default, at least in PHP, is that it will convert lowercase to uppercase. And we would like to deal with the original document in lower and uppercase as is. So that's why I'm saying that there shouldn't be any case folding. It shouldn't be uppercases. Now, I want to handle elements because I need to find food elements. I need to find name elements. So that because of that, I need to handle all the events. I don't worry about the nutrition, I don't worry about the daily values, I don't worry about the manufacturers, but I do worry about the food element because that's where I find the type, the food type, and I worry about the name element because that's where I find the name of the food item. That's what I'm going to list. And since I need the name of the food, I also need to handle character data. Now, this is, have any of you used function pointers before when you write code? So, for the rest of you, a function pointer, what is that? Well, in a function, you are used to having variables, passing variables, either by value or by reference. But now, in this case, you may, the parser, it needs to call a function that we as programmers create, and the parser needs to be able to call it. So it needs somehow a reference to a function. The way PHP is doing that is that you could just pass the name. So here you see the function car data is a function I created. And here the start and end element functions are functions I create. And what PHP will do is that we'll say, okay, I assume this is a function name, so I'm going to call that function. Then comes the question, what if this happened to be a method in a class? Is that the case? Then you have to use a little bit different signature for this function, because then you need to pass an object that has that implements that class, and you need to pass the name of the member function. But to keep it simple, I don't go the object-oriented way here. I just use the regular functional way. So what we need to do is pass the name, and what you see in element handlers, we can pass two handlers, one that will be called every time we get through the start of an element, and one at the end of an element. And then we register another one for handling character data. A question? These functions will have parameters, and these parameters are defined by the parser, not by us. So we're going to look at it. So the parameters that these functions will have will be the data that you need to process. We'll look at the functions in just a second. And then then we open the file, and we just couldn't open it, we throw an exception, and we just read, buffered reading the file, and if you couldn't parse, then we write an error message, and in the end, I would like to print out the number of elements. But that's something we as programmers, we need to count up. So that's why I have this global counter here. And we did talk about global. Anyone you remember what it means when I say global here? So the answer is all functions can use that variable. It is almost correct. What it means is that this variable is defined outside. It's defined in the main program or in the main script, because if I didn't say global, I just talk about counter, it would create a local one, because it's not as in C++ where you predefine variables and you could see from one scope out to the outer scopes. Because here, if it's not defined, we assume that we're creating a new one. But in this case, we would like to use the one that's defined in the outer scope, which in this case would be the main script. So by setting global here, we make sure that we access the global counter. And as I said, all functions, if they use global, they can access the same shared. So this will be like a member variable. If this was a class, I would say this counter. And this counter would be my member variable. But this, since this is not using object-oriented style, then it won't be that way. So let's now. So we have to create that counter. And in the beginning, there are no one. And so this one is just going to call the parse function, and it initializes the. The counter should be. There. Should create the parser first, and then we parse. So this function, or the functions here, if you look at the start element function, we see that it takes three parameters. The first is a reference to the parser that's actually doing the work that called us. We rarely need to access it, but if you need to get some more details about the parsing, you can get the parser. Then it's the name of the element that we just got, and whatever attributes. And that attribute parameter will be an associative array where the name of the attribute would be the keys to the elements. And we register an end element. So this is called whatever we come to the end element tags, and then character data. And right now, we just print the character data. What will happen if I run this script as it is right now? Would nothing happen? Would something happen? If you think about the processing, first it will open the document, then it will find an element, it will call the start element, it won't do anything, then it will find text, it will call char data, which prints something. So this will obviously print all character data in the document. So if you try to run it, so you see that it prints everything with blanks and indentation. So this is the name of something, this is the manufacturer, so this is the name of where the patties, this is the manufacturer. I don't remember if this is the amount of the serving size or amount of fat or whatever. So these are all the numbers. So if you go to the to document, so let's see if you find the patties. I don't remember. Oh, that's probably towards the end. Snack, vegetable. Oops. It should be some meat, I guess. Where are my patties? I could have searched for it. Meat, there we go. Eggs. Spread. There we go. It's a vegetable. Soy. Oh, yeah, it was soy patties. Okay, so the 96 is the serving size. And then the 5 is total fat. 0 is saturated fat. So if you go back here, so the 5 is total fat and saturated fat. So here comes the text numbers. But that's not what we want to do, because what we want to do is to show the type of vegetable and the name of the vegetable. And we need to count, because as you can see here, in the end, it said there were no food items listed. Sorry about the zero doesn't show up, because that's on PHP trying to not showing null values. So we will have to do a print a little bit different formatting if we want to see zeros, but that's fine. We'll find numbers in a while. So, okay, we need to find the attributes, the type attribute, and we need to find the names. So how do we do that? We then obviously need to do something about the start element. So let's, first of all, let's say, are we interested in all character data? No, we are not. What character data are we interested in? Just the name data. So let's add another global variable here. Is name, which says that right now we are processing the name element. Because if we are inside the name element, we would like to write out the name. So then we need to say global is name. And we say if we are currently inside a name, then we can print this. You follow me? So what we say is that the only characters we would like to print would be when we are inside a name. So let's just see that we get no text because we're currently not inside the name. Okay, we are not inside the name, so that's fine. We didn't get any text, then we are in control. Now, for the start element, we have the name, so what we're interested in is to say, if the name of the element is food, then we should count it. If name equals food, And then we need the global counter. Okay, so we just make it here. Global counter. And if the name is food, then we can add up the counter, couldn't we? Because we found one more. Is there anything else? Yeah, the food has the type attribute. So we can print out the type attribute. Print. Now what is the to be printed? It's the actors. This is an an associative array, and what you're interested in is the type. And we can, for formatting, we need to have a little bit of something like this. So what I'm doing is now, when I find a food element, I say, okay, I found one more food element, and I need to get the type of it, and this is, for now, this is a nice chunk. So if this one, if I didn't do a typo here, up, you get to see. Now we got 10 elements, so the counter works. And I've listed all the food types. But not so nice formatting yet, though. But we got the food types. So let's continue. What more do we need? We need to get the actual food name. And how do we get to this? It will be printed out if the isName flag is set. So I need to set the isName flag. Where do I set it? Well, if the name attribute now, the name of the attribute now is name, then I can set isName equals to true. Because now we are inside the name. And that would activate the printing for the next character data. Would this be enough? You need to set a false again. And where should we set it to false again? Sorry? If it's not name, or when we are at the end of name. So if you do the same testing here, because we have a function that's called whenever we are at the end of something. So it, let's do this formatting. So at the end of the name element, this is the, so we had the beginning of name element, we get the text. Now at the end of the name element, we say is name is false, because now we have consumed the whole name element. Oops. Yeah. So what do we do? We start by saying, okay, we found the start of the name. As long as we are inside the name, we just process data. When we find the end element, we say, okay, now we're outside again. So let's see if this worked. Oops, it did not. What did I do? As if name equals, right? And also, as you can see, the printing wasn't so nice. I need to have here as well. I just remember that we need to print a new line so that at the end of a name, we go to the next line. Yeah. So we need the same here. If name equals, sorry, I was one single. So if name equals to name, then it's true here and it's false here. That should do, I think. Oops. Why didn't this work? Because I'm not using the global name here. So I need to use the global, because otherwise it's just a local one. So I need to use the global here and there, so it is shared. Okay, so you can see this is quite simple, but even now it's quite a lot of bookkeeping. We need to know where we are, and we need to keep logs, and we need to remember use global variables. So it's a bit of work. And if the file is trivial like this, if it's a configuration file or an easy file, we just want to do some easy operation, this works. But if we have some serious processing and we need to go back and forth in the document, we basically will need to build up our own data structure here to keep everything, and that's what the DOM is. So that's what we go for the DOM for the more advanced cases. So what is the DOM? It's a much richer interface. It's an interface for manipulating, which means that we can parse, but now we don't just get to handle the events, but now when it's, the parsing is over, we get the whole document in a tree structure that we can navigate. And even more, we can manipulate, because with sex, we cannot change the document. So if you want to modify the document, we can't use sex. Sex would only tell us what's in there, but we could use DOM. And what's the advantage of using DOM for modifying XML document and writing yourself? Any ideas? Why can't you just, we could just print. This is XML, this is text. We could just print it out. Why would we want to use an API for that if we could just print it as a string? Because there are quite a few things to remember. Like you need to escape some characters, and you will like to indent it, and you like to have the proper nesting, so you always need to remember to have an end tag for all the star tags. So there's quite a lot of bookkeeping again, that if you just use the DOM API, we could just say, add a node, and we are done with it. And the API deals with all the details. We'll look at that probably tomorrow. And after modifying it, we can serialize it, which means that we produce a new file, or we overwrite the previous file. Sax and DOM, they are both available in many languages. I think Java was probably one of the first ones, but you have C++, JavaScript, PHP, Python, whatever programming language you would like to use, you will most likely find the DOM API implemented. So what is it? Well, what the web consortium that owns the standards says is that it's a platform and language-neutral interface, which means that all the operations they specify, all the nodes they specify, all the node lists and the name node names they create, they are standard. So that should be, and it's called the core. There are different types of this, but it's a core. So, because as we'll see in Chrome, the DOM has more attributes and it's more complex than what I'm showing here. But you find everything here as well in the model in DOM. So you have the core that is shared for all, and then you may have special DOM. You probably use the HTML DOM. And in Chrome, it's kind of the HTML DOM on top of the core DOM, so that's why you have a little bit of both in that case. So what I'm referring to is, if you don't follow me, is here. If we open the developer here, and we open the nutrition, we find that nutrition is a set. Here we find it's a set of nodes, which is nutrition. The first element is the nutrition, and this is the length of the node set or node list. And if we open nutrition, we find here that the child nodes is a text, it's a command, it's a text, it's daily value, it's text, food, text, food, text, food. This is the same thing as we saw when we used the parser. Because inside the DOM, the children of the nutrition element will be some commands, some text, some food, daily values. These are the items. So when I refer to the core DOM, I refer to some of these here, like the attributes. There were no attributes. So if the root element had an attribute, if nutrition had an attribute, it would come up here in the attributes list. The children or the child nodes will give you all the child nodes. Now, children, you can see it's an HTML collection. So children is in the HTML DOM. Do you follow me? So core DOM is child nodes, HTML, also says that all elements have children. So the children is an HTML DOM. So this is a bit of a mix. So you have things that are Chrome specific. You have elements that are, or variables that are DOM core, or you have something that DOM HTML. It's all mixed up here, but we'll find everything. So when we talk about first child, last child, we talk about the node type, node name, node value, all these names are core DOM names. So we'll come back to them in a second. So how does this work? Now, you remember in the sex case, if you go all the way back here, we have the document, and as the document is processed, there is a loop here that's calling our functions. So say, okay, now I got a new element, now I got some text, now I got the end of an element, now I got an end of an element, now I got text, now I got a new element. So it goes through like that and calls, and we need to deal with all these, or have handlers for all these events. But in the DOM case, parsing, it takes a document, it parses, and when it's done, we have this great data structure that we can traverse. It's there in memory, and we can follow the links like here. I can, from here, I can go to the first child. So let's see here. I can either go directly to the child nodes, or I can open child nodes and find all the children, and I can look at this text here, text node, and I can see what the value is. Let's see, the value is just a blank. It's just, I wasn't so fortunate with that. But if you open the food, and inside the food, we have the child node's name, and inside the name, we have the child, the first child, which is a text child, and inside the text, we find avocado dip. Was it confusing? Yes, I was quick. But the thing is that the whole tree structure is here. In the browser, I can navigate it by just following, okay, what did I do? I went to the root node, I listed all the child nodes, I went through the sixth child node, which happened to be a food node, and I looked at all its child nodes, and I went to the first child, which happened to, so I navigate the structure. And this is what we'll do after a break, is we're going to see what are the operations. Or, first of all, what is the node structure? You can see I've drawn quite a few links here. So there are, so all these first child, next sibling, previous sibling, parent, these are pointers. And these are the pointers that we use for navigating. And then we have the lists, the list of children, the list of attributes, which is actually an associative array, lookup array. But this is what we're going to deal with, is to traverse and pick up information from this. And that's what you're going to do in the assignment, because it's too complex for this to really use the sex API. So the advantage is now we have the whole document there. So we can traverse, you can go back and forth, you can start at the beginning, we can start at the end, we can start in the middle. We can access it all because it's there. We don't have to worry about it being processed in the order the elements are and the content is in the document. And we can even create new documents, or we can modify existing documents. But as we said, the advantage of SAX is that it's quick and easy. And the problem here now is that we need to parse the complete document before we can do any processing. And we need to have the space for it. Okay, a break there, and then we'll start going into details of DOM after the break. So let's dive into Dom. And it, when dealing with this, it might be useful to keep a number of resources available. So one was the DOM API in PHP. It is PHP implementation, so most of it is the standard. There are some smaller additions that are not so important. It's just that if you write the code and would like to port it to a different language, there are maybe some operations that you are PHP specific. But the whole thinking, the whole structure, the way of working will be the same. So here you could see you have here on the right-hand side, you have the DOM intro, you have all the various types of data structures defined by DOM API. So here you have the various types of nodes, and you have a list of nodes, and you have a map, meaning a lookup table, where you can use the name of the attribute, for instance, to look up the attribute values. And we can have XPath, which is also convenient to use when we process DOM. And the other is in the in Chrome or Firefox, in your browser, developer's tools, you can look at the structure. So here, as I said, here we opened the document, the nutrition, which is in the, because this XPath, as we talked about, this XPath expression will return a node list. Even though there's just one node, what we get is a node list. It's a list, and we can open the first element in the list, which is a nutrition node. Which has a number of child nodes. One is a text, one is a command, a text, daily values, text, food. And we looked at that one. And there's a text, a food, a text, a food. So that's how the structure is. And we can iterate it. So if you would like to understand more of it, try to follow the links and the variables in the browser. But let's also try to make it a bit more abstract, draw some models, like some graphical models. So when I say it's a tree of DOM objects, it's not completely true, because it's a bit more complex structure. It is a tree, but it also has some additional links that you can traverse that is a little bit beyond the tree. But it's basically a tree with parents with children, that has grandchildren and so on. And there are some links that go across these nodes as well. Each node, there is a specific subclass of node, one for document, one for document type. We'll talk about document type next week when we talk about validation. So that's how we can validate, is to define the type of the document. And then inside the document, we have elements, attributes, text, data sections, or character data sections, entity references. This maps directly to what we've already been traversing up and down. Is this an element? Is this an attribute? This is a text content. This is a character data section that we didn't talk so much about. And we can have commands and processing instructions. So there is a node structure with these subclasses. And if you look at the PHP documentation, so if you look at in PHP, if you go to DOM node, you find this is common to all DOM nodes. These are all the attributes. These are all the methods defined on a DOM node. Now, if you look specifically at DOM elements, you find that DOM elements is a subclass of DOM node, and DOM element has some property, for instance, tag name. In all nodes have a node name, but for convenience, elements, we call them tag names. So for convenience, elements also have the attribute tag name. Only elements will have tag name. All nodes will have node names. So it's a bit of a, there are some definitions that are for convenience here as well. And then there are methods for getting attributes, for checking if there is an attribute, removing attributes, setting attributes. And there is a number of inherited methods. These are the methods that work on DOM elements, but are defined on DOM nodes. So for instance, So it's convenient to keep that information available. Now, I'm a kind of a data structure nerd, so I really like this data structure. I think this is kind of genius as a node structure for creating a tree that will allow you to browse and efficiently get through the tree. So it looks kind of innocent. So this is the node, DOM node structure. It has some variables, like all nodes have a node type. And what's the node type? Well, it's actually as an integer. So if you go to the DOM and look at predefined constants, we find predefined constants. Is this the element node constant is the same as one? Is this an attribute node? Is this a text node? Is this a character data? Is this a processing instruction? Is this a command? Is this a document node? So since all nodes inherit DOM nodes, so if you have an element, then the node type would be XML element type. The name of the node will be the name that we saw in the previous case. It could be the food item, or it could be the name the name element, or it could be the manufacturer element, or the vitamins element. So this would be the name of the element in this case. Node value. This is one of the places where the standard and implementations usually differ, because in the standard it says that elements do not have values, because elements only have children, which might be text or other elements. So if you try to get node value, you wouldn't get it. But you can. There are the implementation will sometimes be that you get the value of the text children. So if you have text children, you will get that when you call node value. And other implementations will have ways to get the text content of a node. So there are ways around it. But basically, elements do not have values. Attributes, they have values. But elements, they have a name and they have children. All that is important. All elements point to the document that they are part of. So if you find a DOM element, you can always find a document by just following the owner document link. They will all have, so if you go here to, so here, they should all have, owner document. Owner document. This is the document that we are currently working on. All nodes have an owner document link. These are all links. So that's why it goes up to the owner document. Elements may have parents. Only the root element don't have a parent. The root element is part of the is the root element. And it doesn't have a parent, it's part of the document. But for all the other nodes, they have parents. Previous and next sibling. You remember that from the preceding and following sibling axis in XPath? We can go to next sibling. And that's very easy to implement in XPath. XPath, because these are links in the DOM. So if XPath is written on DOM, it's easy to traverse back and forth the previous siblings and next siblings through these two links. Then there is a pointer to the first and the last child. So you have children, and you point to the first and last, and going through the sibling, previous or next sibling, you can iterate through all the siblings. But DOM node also, as we saw, has a list of child nodes. You can also access the children through that child nodes array. So you have a choice. Attributes, I didn't say much about that. Attributes are linked to the elements and is a map, which means it's a lookup table where you have key being the name of the attribute and value being the attribute value. So it's that's the building block. So that's the one you need to understand and learn and remember from DOM. That's really the one thing you need to remember is this structure. Everything else you should be able to, through use, understand what it's all about. And here you have always a pointer to the document, you have a pointer to your parent, you have a pointer to your previous sibling, to your next sibling, to your first child, to the last child. Interesting thing is that this is defined on DOM structure, but attributes. Attributes are DOM node structure, but attributes don't have links to parents, don't have links to previous and next siblings, don't have children. So mostly elements will have all of this and document, but it's the generic structure anyway. It's the DOM node that builds the whole tree structure. So even if not, most of these are null. These pointers are null in for quite a few of the types of nodes. But for elements, we need that to create a data structure. So what are the attributes? So as you said, the name and the type and the value of element or the element or attribute or whatever. And as we'll see, the name will be like a hash text or hash command if it doesn't have an element or an attribute name. We can get the attributes for a certain node. We can get the text content, the owner document. We find the children and the siblings. All of that is in node, as we could see here. So if you go to DOM node again, we find here link to the parent node, link to the child nodes, or the list of child nodes, but it's also the first and the last child. It's the previous sibling and next sibling. It's the set of attributes. It's the document. And it's a node type, node value, node name. It's all here. And in, as I said, in PHP, you also have this text content attribute that will return the text if it has children, or if it's an element, it's not the node value. And what are the methods? Normalize is basically to align the indentation, make it nice looking. But you can insert nodes, you can replace children, you can remove children, you can append children. Those are the methods to actually modify the structure. I will come back to that. I think that will be tomorrow. Then we have this node list. What is a node list? Well, the list of children is a node list. And it's a node sequence, so it's a number array. And you have basically one attribute, which is the length. And you have all the members. And you can find them by going through item. So when you do get the children attribute or you go through a query in the XPath, you will get a node list. And here, if you go to the node list, you find that it has the length, and you can get each of the items by indexing. And this is zero-based indexing. It's not XPath where you have one-based, but this is zero-based indexing. And the named node map structure is for attributes. And for attributes, you remember that attributes have names and values. And one attribute can only appear once inside a list of attributes for an element. So because of that, we can use the name as the key. So this is an associative array where you have the length and you can go through the item. So if you have a named node map, so you can call get named item by putting in the name, or you can get a certain attribute by index. You could find the third attribute as well, but the most common way is to go through the name, get named item. These are the structures. We have the basic node structure that links to the document, to the parent, to the first and last child, and to the siblings, and attributes, a list of attributes, and we have the node list that will be all the children, and we have the named node map that will be all the attribute values. So these are kind of the structures we have. So if you know these structures, then everything else is just a matter of looking up signatures, function signatures. Now, how would this dumb tree look like? We have a DVD with one attribute. We have name, and we have the text content. Let me see if I can. Can I do? Okay. Let's see if you can draw on the side. What is the? So we have the. Let me see. I can need to. There you go. So we have the document, and document, as we'll see in a while, it points to an element. That element is a document root. Then what is the name of that element? It's DVD. And that one has a pointer to the document, and it doesn't have any siblings, so there's no pointers there, it's just grounded. What is the content of DVD? What are the children of DVD? And attributes is also just an empty set. Doesn't have any attributes. Yeah, sorry, it did have an attribute. Okay, sorry. So there's one attribute here. Attribute. Sorry, that was a bit narrow. And the name of the attribute is category, and the value is action. So in here, just it should be name equals category, and value equals action. That is the value of that node, the attribute node. Was that confusing? No. So we have a list of attributes, or a node map of attributes. It has one element where the name is category and the value is action. So now what? So we have a pointer to the first child, and we have a pointer to the last child. What is the first child here? Yeah. It could be name, but in this case, it's actually just a text node. Because we have the blank, there's a line, there's a new line and a blank, so there's a text there, and the final one is also text, unfortunately. And then in the middle, you have an element, and its name is name, and it has pointers to the previous and next. Text does not have any previous, and this one doesn't have a next. In this case, what's the content? It's just a text node. It doesn't have any before, it doesn't have any after, and the text is die hard. This one has a parent, this one has a parent, and they all point to the doc, because they all have the owner document. So that is kind of the document structure for this small document. It has quite a number of DOM nodes, this being a document, this being an attribute, these being elements, these being texts. Those are texts. And they have pointers to the previous and next, pointers to the first and last child. In this case, first and last will be the same. Let's see if I can... Question. Oh, sorry. Name is an element here. You see, and then the value of the name goes here. So, and as it was suggesting up there, if you had eliminated all the blanks, make it into one, or ignore the blanks, then this text here and this text there wouldn't be there. So then there would be only one child of the DVD. And that would be the name, which is another element. Yeah. So the root node is kind of like this. You have the DVD. It doesn't have a node value. It's an element node, and it links to the document. And the parent is here shown as a document. I don't think that is... I'm not sure if that is the case, actually. But I don't remember how it's specified, if it does have the document as the parent. But it doesn't have any previous and any next siblings, at least. And then, these are the children. If you simplify, if you ignore the two blanks, just looking at the overall, just the two texts, then we will have the document, where the node type is document node. The name will be document, and node value is null. It doesn't have a node value. The first element is of type element node. Name is DVD, doesn't have a value, but it has a first and last child. And in this case, if you ignore the two blanks, as you were suggesting, then that will be the element. The element, again, the name of that element is name, and the value is null. And it has one child, so it's the first and last, and that is a text node, where the name is text, and the node value is diehard. So that's kind of the structure if we ignore the blanks that I was drawing on the other one. Yeah, and attributes will be a named node map, and there will be one attribute in that, which is attribute node, and the name is category, and the value is action. So we see here that node value, we could use that to get the text and the attribute values. If we were to print them out. Yeah. So the nutrition here, I don't know if we need to spend a lot of time. If we ignore just the blanks, how many children will the root document element have? So if you, this is maybe a terminology that you're not so familiar with. If you look at DOM document, DOM document will have what's called the document element. Because it's a tree, and a tree has one root, so the root element is called the document element. So that's the one I was drawing up here, the arrow from doc here. That one is the document element attribute that points to it. And then, so the document has nutrition as a document element. How many children? It will be one for each, one for daily values. And that's the only child. And daily values will have 1, 2, 3, 4 children if you ignore those blanks. In this case, the total fat will be a text child, sodium will have a text child, carb will have a text child, and protein will have a text child. So that will be kind of the structure that we have. It's going to be too cramped on my screen to try to draw it. So, as I said, the DOM document, it has a pointer to the doc type, And we'll talk about that next week because it's about validation. It is about specifying what a proper document should look like if it's correctly formatted or it has correct content. And then document element, which is the root element. And that's element, and from there we get the whole tree. We get all the children. Methods. Now this is interesting. The only way to create a node of any type, create a new element, create a new DOM attribute, create a new DOM command, the only way to do it is to actually use the DOM to create it. DOM has kind of factory functions if you want. So here you could create an attribute, you could create an element, you could create a text node, and you will call that on the document. Because, as we saw before, all nodes have a reference to the owner document. All nodes in the document need to be owned by the same document. You can't assemble nodes from different documents. That wouldn't make sense. So all nodes in the document are in the same document. And the way to guarantee that is to have the document create all the nodes. So if you were to create nodes, as we'll show tomorrow, you will go through DOM node to have DOM node create the nodes you need. And then you can put them in the tree. If you don't do it this way, if you get the node from somewhere else and try to put it in the tree, DOM would complain because you can only insert nodes from the same document into the tree. For searching, if the document type defines a value or an attribute to be an ID, if you have an ID attribute, then you can get an element by ID. And remember that IDs will be unique. So we'll talk about this next week. You have unique IDs, and since it's unique, then get element by ID will be a unique element that you get back or from the query if it's there. It's either null or it's a one unique one. But we can also search for elements by tag name. So if you have a node, we say, okay, what are the elements under this node that has this tag name? Then it will search all the elements, the children, everything, and look for any element in that subtree that has the tag name. And yeah, we have one with user namespace. We don't talk so much about namespace, but just see that whenever there is a namespace involved, you need to have these namespace functions. You need to say what is the namespace of the node that you create or search for. But get elements by tag name will search the current document for any node in that document that has this tag name. DOM element has a tag name. It also has it has operations methods for getting attributes. So you could see if it has an attribute with a certain name, what is the value of that attribute? You can set the value of an attribute, and you can remove an attribute. Those are operations. So they were mostly on attributes. Other than that, you have the typical DOM node attributes, methods, I mean, that you inherit. And then you have operations in the namespace. And we can here, as you could do a document, we can, for a certain element, we can look for any tags under this element as a child, a grandchild, or anything that has a certain name. So that's for searching. So that's a convenient way to get all the elements with a certain name in the subtree that we are currently in. So if you have this document here, so we have a nutrition, daily values, we have food, different types of food. Get elements by tag name. If we call that on the root element here, is that similar to something that we do in XPath? What does get element by tag name do? It will search the whole subtree under nutrition, looking for, that's a food element there, there's a food element there, and we'll return them in a set. Is there an XPath operation that will do the same? How do you find all food items in the document? Yeah, you could go //, which is the descendants axis. You could do //, food. // would go through the whole subdocument, and food would be the one. So everything I was saying about be careful about using //, using the descendants, because if it's a big document, you may need to visit all parts of the document, even though we are just looking for the nodes at the very top level. So remember the same here. So get elements by tag name can be a costly operation. If you're just looking for the immediate children, and it's a deep tree, then you may set up for a inefficient query. But get elements by tag name is the same as descendant axis in XPath. So I prefer using XPath when I get information rather than get elements by tag name. But we can use both. DOM attribute has no methods. It just has a name and a value. Now, let's start looking into DOM in PHP. And you've already seen a little bit of the PHP manual. So you'll see a little bit of what's there. But it's put in the link here. Keep it available and see what the methods are, what the signatures are. PHP had or still offers a simpler XML API. So if you go to XML manipulation, and you have the DOM, and then you have the simple XML, which is a different API that was implemented in PHP before they implemented the full DOM. But don't use that. Use the standard DOM, because then you use standard technology and not some early technology. So don't go there. And in the assignment, if you use simple XML, you won't accept your assignment. You have to use DOM. That's the purpose of practicing DOM, not this API. I have uploaded some examples that shows the create DOM from a file, navigated tree, get access and modifying and serializing the DOM. It's on Blackboard. Now, we will go through some examples later on here as well, and they are not in that set, so maybe I should add them, because I thought we should do it interactively here, and we'll see. Maybe we'll put them in there if you find it interesting to have them in the example set as well. I can add them there. Now, how do we create the DOM structure from a file? Well, we have to go through a couple of steps. First, of course, we need to create a DOM document. So if we go here, if you go to the DOM, we find that DOM documents, there is a constructor. And we can say what version, and we can say encoding. You remember that in the document we had version equals to 1.0, and we can say encoding is UTF-8 or ISO something. So this is what we can pass here, but typically we use the default, and then we don't need to pass anything. And then after we upload the document or create the document, we need to get some text in there. So here we try to load the document, and if it crashes, then we need to handle it. Otherwise, we can process it. The URL here that we put in here, it doesn't have to be this URL, doesn't have to be just a local file. It can be anything. It can be an HTTP resource. So you can use this to access any document that you want. So just be careful, though. There are certain sites that would not be happy if you start making code that would go there and retrieve all the content and traverse it. So you should respect the authors of the content that make programs that are too hard on the servers out there. Now, let's go through and see how we can use DOM to iterate. We did this in SACS, and let's go through and do the same thing in DOM. So what did I do here is this small DOM traverse. We have called a process document, and it's opening a DOM document. And I want to keep an XPath function here that I'm going to be using. It doesn't necessarily need to be global if I'm just using it here, but then I can use it everywhere in my document, an XPath. I'm creating a document, loading a URL, which is the nutrition XML file, and then we get the root element, the nutrition element. And from here, we can iterate. If you think about the DOM structure, how many ways, or what are the ways to iterate, most common ways? I'm going to go through all of them, the common ways to iterate the content of a document like this. How can you use the structure? Any ideas? If you go back to... Oh, we can actually go back to here. This drawing. How can I get all the content in this document? I'm right now, I do have the root element, the DVD element. What are the various ways to traverse it? One alternative is to go to the child node list. Yes? Other ways? Yeah? You can go to the first child, and then you can go to the next sibling throughout the whole list. And if you're just looking for certain elements, we can then go get elements by tag name, and we can use an XPath. So in your skier document, so when you are to pick up information about clubs and skiers, you can either go through all the child nodes, or you can go to the first child and go through all the children or the siblings, or you can do get elements by tag name, or you can do XPath query. So let's look at the various ones. Just for sorry, that wasn't the one. So child nodes. So how do we do that? Well, we would like to have let's say children equals to. If we look at the this one. If you look at DOM node, so we do have child nodes. Okay, so that's what we like to do. Equals root. Sorry, child nodes. Now, this is a node list. So if you look at node list has a length, and we can get the various items. So then it looks like we're going to have a for I equals to the first, I less than children length. We go through all i++. What should we do? Well, for now, we need to get that child. So child equals to children, and then we have the item function, item I. You agree with that? That's okay. So we go through the whole set, or the whole list, we get each one at that position. Then let's just, for now, let's print child node name, just so we can see what's in there, and then a blank line after it. Is okay? Anyone spotting a typo? That would usually be the case. Oops, sorry. No, I should do PHP. Need to call PHP. Sorry. 10 listed. So somehow my query, I didn't show you that query, but we can show it later on. But if you look at what's there, so it's traversing all the nutrition node child nodes, and I get the text, I get the comment, I get some text, I get daily values, I get text, I get food, I get text, I get text. So what would we be interested in? The process. Which of these are we interested in? The food. So one way to do this is if child, because they all have node name, and the one we are interested in is food. So now we are just going through the whole list, but we just wanted to look at the ones that are. And by the way, let me just show you this. So what I'm doing here is I'm just doing XPath evaluate, count the number of food. That's why the 10 at the end is the number of. That's how I can do an XPath evaluate. We'll talk about it in a while, but just so you know why the 10 came up, it's using XPath. But what I'm doing here now is I'm going through each of the children. I'm checking if the node name is food, and if it is, we print it out. Now we see we only have the food items. Now it's time to actually do the processing, and I do have process element that would actually get the name child, which will be a node list. So get elements by tag name will return my node list. I know that's just one node there, and that's the one I'm interested in. And then I want to get its child nodes, which is the text. And I'm printing the attribute name, which is the vegetable, if that's the vegetable, the type. And then I go through all the children, text children, which is actually name content, and I just print them out. If these are text nodes, I just print them out. Because this way, the reason for doing text node is I want to avoid that comments or anything else in there is printed out. I just want the text out. And with this, hopefully, sorry, didn't I save it? No, I shouldn't do this. I should process food element. Process food element, and that should be processed on child. There you go. Then we have the type, and you have the name for each one of them. This is the one we do today, and tomorrow we go through the three other ones, and we'll look more into how we can use DOM for modifying a document. And then we may be starting on some non-XML as well. We'll see what we do at the end of the day. Thank you.